Dear Heavenly Father, the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we are so thankful, Lord, for this opportunity tonight to share the gospel of your Lord, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are so thankful, Lord, for those who have called in this evening who are here to listen to your word of truth. We pray, Lord, that the message that Brother Copeland shares this evening is such where it reminds them of our adversary, that old serpent, the devil. Pray, Lord, that in teaching us tonight that we become not ignorant of his devices, understanding, Lord, that he is seeking to whom he may devour. Pray, Lord, that someone is forewarned tonight so that they can be forearmed. Pray, Lord, that a listener wants to obey the gospel, wants to be added to the one church, the church of Christ, your son, purchased with his own blood. Pray, Lord, that those listening can understand the wiles of our adversary and do those things in which we can still make heaven our home. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We're very thankful to each and every person that's on tonight, especially those who are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. To those who are not members of the Church of Christ, you are a very honored guest. You are the VIP of our call, and we thank you so very much for joining us tonight. We pray you will take your Bible and open it up and follow along with our speaker. Take notes of the things he will say and pay particular attention to the things that he say as it pertains to your salvation. This week, we're dealing with the devil and we're dealing with hell. And this week, we understand that even though everyone wants to go to heaven, there is a heaven to win, but there is a hell to miss. There is really truth. It's truth that there is a God. There is also the truth. There is a devil. Tonight, I'll hear Brother Donald Copeland. We've asked him to talk about this devil, that old serpent called the devil. Brother Copeland is an author of a book about the devil, and I'm thankful he's accepted my invitation. He currently preaches for the Bells Church of Christ in Bells, Tennessee. So we're going to let him come in his own way. Brother Copeland, can you tell us what said the scripture about that old serpent called the devil?
Brethren, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to speak to you about the devil this evening. And again, my name is Brother Copeland, and I appreciate Brother Tommy Brooks providing me with this opportunity, and especially the brothers and sisters in Christ there at the Highland Heights Church of Christ in Houston, Texas. We're thankful that we have this opportunity to be able to preach the gospel to souls throughout the world, especially throughout the nation at this time. If you have your Bibles, let me encourage you to turn to Revelation chapter 12. That's Revelation chapter 12, because my topic is, for what saith the scripture about the old serpent called the devil? If you have your Bibles, read along with me here in Revelation chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. The text says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Our text was in verse 9. And the great red dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Our Bible talks about Satan and his beginning in heaven back in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 11 through 19. It talks about an anointed cherub, and yes, it also talks about a king. But the king there in the passage in Ezekiel chapter 28 verses 11 and following had some unique characteristics, and they were the characteristics of that one and only angel that God had created that we'll talk about in just a few moments, called Lucifer. This individual that God talks about by inspiration in Ezekiel chapter 28 is described this way. He's looking at the king, describing the king, but also keep in mind the characteristics of that king. Verse 11 in Ezekiel 28, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper and sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, the gold, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes," notice this, "was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created." And notice this description, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." Notice verse 15, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created." Notice this also, "till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence." Notice again, "and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, and thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground, and I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." This passage, we can talk about a human being being born into this world, but we can also talk about an angelic being, an anointed cherub, a covering cherub, that was created with perfect beauty, created also being full of wisdom, created also in holiness, because he had to reach a point in time in which he had sinned. And that's what's brought out here in verse 15 of Ezekiel chapter 28, "that thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." Verse 16 also, "thou hast sinned. Therefore will I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God." Some agree that, yes, it's also talking about an angelic being, being created perfect in his ways, beautiful as well, full of wisdom, until he made that choice to sin. And that's the same way it is with all of us. We're born pure into this world. We're not born in sin, contrary to what some new Bible versions may teach. And the reason that we would sin, that's in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. We make a choice to transgress God's word. John would tell us in 1 John 3 and verse 4, sin is a transgression of the law. That's how we sin. And angels, being created in perfect holiness as well, had that freedom of choice. The devil chose to sin. And he also, according to Revelation chapter 12, had persuaded one-third of the angels to sin with him. And they were cast out of heaven. Now, in Jude verse 6, we find out where the angels were cast down to when they were cast out of heaven. In Jude verse 6, "the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness under the judgment of the great day." Another verse, 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, "for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them in a chains of darkness to be reserved unto the judgment." The angels that took the devil's side to try to take over heaven were cast out, down to hell, reserved to judgment. But the devil was cast down to earth. Again, we might ask, well, what for? If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 14. It's Isaiah chapter 14 and verses 12 through 15. Now, in our King James Version, it's going to use the word Lucifer. Some of the other newer Bible versions may not use that name. But here in Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15, Isaiah says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" Verse 13, "For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." The devil, known as Lucifer at the beginning, created in perfect beautiness, holiness, wisdom, made a choice to sin. What was his sin? Pride. What did he want to do? He wanted to take over heaven. He wanted to sit in the throne of God. He wanted to be called God. He wanted to rule just like God ruled. But that was not his responsibility. And because the devil had made that choice to sin against God and to persuade one-third of the angels of heaven to join his side to try to take over heaven, those angels were cast down to hell, according to Jude verse 6 and 2 Peter 2 verse 4. Satan was cast down to the earth. Now back to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. The text tells us that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast down into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Talked about where the angels were cast to, that they were cast down to hell, reserved in chains of darkness until the judgment day. But the devil was cast down to the earth. Genesis chapter 3, we pick up with that occasion. And there you have that serpent, that old serpent, tempting Eve and tempting Adam, talking about the fruit that God had forbidden them to eat. But because of his cunningness and his craftiness, he had persuaded Eve to go ahead and eat of the fruit. She would be like God. She'd know good and evil. Eve was deceived, but she gave the fruit to Adam. Adam ate the fruit, and their eyes were open. They knew good and evil, but Adam was not deceived. 1 Peter 2 and verse 14, or pardon me, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, Paul tells us by inspiration, Adam was not deceived. Well, what took place? Adam sinned with his eyes wide open. He had listened to his wife. He was persuaded by the devil to eat the fruit, and when they had done so, they had sinned. Revelation chapter 12, we had talked about that great red dragon that had seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns. Revelation 12 and verse 3. A crown represents victory. Well, what did Satan have a victory over? Well, God created these beautiful angels, and Satan had persuaded one-third of them to take his side. They were cast down to hell. When Satan was cast down to the earth, what is one of his victories? Well, he conquered Adam and Eve, the only two human beings upon the earth that God had created. Adam was the first man, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 45. Eve is the mother of all living, Genesis 3 and verse 20. The whole human race come from those two individuals. And the only two human beings here upon the earth, Satan gained a victory. He had persuaded them to sin, and by their sin they were cast out of the garden. But God provided a way for them to repent of their sins and to be obedient unto him. That is, following his word, keeping the commands that he would give them. But as time went on, you come to Genesis chapter 6, the world filled with mankind. Genesis 6 points out that the thoughts of the hearts were only evil continually. And when you look at all of humanity, only one family was faithful to God, Noah and his wife, his three sons and their three wives. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verses 17 through 21, Peter points out to us that only eight souls were saved by water. Eight souls were saved when God brought the flood upon the earth. Now, we may know about the story of Noah who built the ark, and he did. Noah preached righteousness, wanted to preach to the people God's mercy and love, tried to encourage them to turn away from their sins. But as Genesis chapter 6 had pointed out, the thoughts of their hearts were only evil continually. When the floods came, how many people entered into the ark? Well, according to 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17 through 21, only 8 souls entered into that ark. Only 8 souls were saved. Satan gained another victory. He had corrupted the world by providing them with a choice to sin. And because humanity has their freedom of choice, they had sinned before God and they were destroyed. And so, yes, Satan has victories. 7 heads, 10 crowns, of course, figuratively speaking. 7 heads, 10 horns, 7 crowns. And I just spoke of a few of those victories of the devil. So let me ask you a question in the moments that we have left. Where are you in the devil's plan? Have you made any plans lately? Well, we know a plan is a step-by-step process to reach a goal. Some have a plan for education. Some have a plan to graduate school. Some have a plan to graduate college or perhaps start a new career or another career. Some have plans for dating, marriage, having children, moving to a new location, or probably moving to another country as well. Some have plans to lead a more productive, happy, holy, and healthy life. We know about plans, but do you know that others have plans for you? Your parents have plans for children. Teachers have plans for their students. Employers have plans for their employees. You know, God has a plan for you. And 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, speaking about God, Paul says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. That's A-double-L. God wants everybody to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Well, what about Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus has a plan also. Luke 19 and verse 10, he told Zacchaeus that he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Matthew 26 and verse 28, Jesus told his apostles when he instituted the Lord's Supper, and he took the fruit of the vine, he said, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And also in Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, the Lord's plan. He told the apostles to go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Those who obey the gospel, Jesus has a plan. Acts 2 and verse 47, he will add them to his church. But Jesus also has a plan. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, parents, teachers, employers, God, Jesus Christ, they have plans for us. But you know, the devil also has a plan for you as well. Where are you in the devil's plan? Well, some folks say, I don't believe in God. Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's foolish to believe that there's no God. The evidence is all around us. God's fingerprint upon the creation of the heavens and the earth verifies that a divine designer had created all of this. Take someone to be foolish to say that there is no God. Well, again, where are you in the devil's plan? Do you believe that there is a God in heaven? Do you believe that the Bible is the word of God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's son? Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to true happiness, holiness, and heaven? Do you believe all this, yet put off faith and obedience to God and Jesus Christ? If you believe all this and you keep putting it off, then yes, you're in the devil's plan. You see, there were folks that John talked about in John chapter 12, verse 42 and 43. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Yes, you need to believe in Christ, but you also need to confess Christ. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, is summarizing it. Jesus said, you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father which is in heaven. And so where are you in the devil's plan? Again, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 26, or perhaps just write these verses down and you can look at them later as well. Acts chapter 26. What's going on here? Paul could have titled his sermon to Agrippa. Agrippa, where are you in the devil's plan? See, Paul is a prisoner before Festus, the governor, and before Herod Agrippa II, the king over that fourth part of the area. Paul is defending his actions for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul wanted them to become a Christian just like him. So in examining Acts chapter 26, you'll notice that we could look at three questions. First question would be this: what does it mean to be a Christian? In Acts chapter 26, verses 19 through 29 is where we can get this information here. Paul tried to persuade Agrippa to believe in the sufferings of Christ, to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of this Christ. He said here, beginning at verse 22 of Acts chapter 26, he says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king," speaking about Agrippa, "knoweth these things, before whom I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. This thing was not done in a corner." Notice what Paul says: "King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest." But what does it mean to become a Christian? Paul tried to persuade Agrippa to believe in the sufferings and the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christ. Paul also tried to persuade Agrippa to turn from his sins by repentance. Look at verse 19 and 20. Paul is talking about what he did. Paul says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision," that is referring to Jesus Christ appearing unto him on the road to Damascus. Paul says, "I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that," notice this, "they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance." Paul not only tried to persuade Agrippa to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Christ, but he tried to persuade Agrippa to repent. Paul also tried to persuade Agrippa about obedience to God and Jesus Christ. And that's what he talks about here in Acts 26 and verses 12 through 19. Paul was obedient to the heavenly vision. He said he wasn't disobedient to it. When Jesus Christ points out who he is and Jesus Christ points out what he wants done, Paul said, "I had faith, put his faith in Christ." He went to Damascus. The gospel was preached unto him in Acts 22 and verse 16. Ananias said to Saul of Tarsus, "Why tearest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Paul had obeyed the gospel. Paul had put his faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so Paul was trying to persuade Agrippa to become a Christian, persuading him about the importance of faith and belief, the importance of repentance, the importance of obedience to God and Jesus Christ our Lord. What does it mean to be a Christian? You have to obey what the Lord commands in order for you to become a Christian. Second question: what was Agrippa's answer? What was Herod Agrippa's answer? Verse 28, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Remember the question we started out with? Where are you in the devil's plan? Well, we have Agrippa in the devil's plan. Satan had persuaded Agrippa that there is a God, that his word is true, that Jesus is God's son, and that salvation is only in Christ. And Agrippa could only say the words, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Satan had persuaded Agrippa to put off obedience to God in Jesus Christ. Well, how can that happen? Well, the Bible says much about the devil. Think back, if you had read before, about the parable of the sower who went forth to sow seed. You would have Jesus explaining that parable, Luke chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Luke 8, verse 11 and 12, Jesus says, "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear," they notice this, "then cometh the devil." Why is the devil going to come when the gospel is preached? Jesus says, those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, notice this, lest they should believe and be saved. The word of God, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ, is preached in order that individuals can be saved. Isn't that what Jesus said? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be condemned. The devil doesn't want anybody to dwell upon the word of God, to believe it, and then follow it and be saved. And so the devil tries his best to snatch the word out of the hearts of individuals, lest they believe and be saved. That's Luke 8, verse 11 and 12. Now notice 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. That's 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 6. Paul said to the Corinthians, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid in them that are lost. Notice this, in whom the God of this world, that's the devil, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God into the face of Jesus. Now, we asked a couple questions. What does it mean to be a Christian? You got to have faith. You got to repent of your sins. You got to be obedient to Christ. And I'll talk more about what that obedience is in just a few moments. What was Agrippa's answer? Well, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Why do people put off obedience to God when they know the truth? Well, they think they have more time. One way to look at it. Solomon said in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James in James chapter 4 and verse 13 and following, he would point out in that passage, what is your life? It is vapor that appears for a little while and then vanisheth away. Some folks think they have more time. Satan would love nothing more than them to put off the gospel until they die before they obey it. That way they'll die in sin. Some reason that there may be another way. Maybe I can just live a good life. Maybe I can just pray. Maybe I can just keep the commandments in the Old Testament to love my mom and daddy and not lie, not cheat, not steal, not kill. Maybe if I do that, I'll be okay. They reason in their heart that there's another way. Some reason that there's a more easier, convenient way, such as Naaman did, the captain, back in 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 10. The prophet had told Naaman through his servant, go wash in the Jordan, dip seven times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and you'll be clean. But Naaman said, you know, aren't the waters back home better, abandoned far, far? He didn't want to be, he didn't want to dip seven times in the Jordan River. But finally, he had decided to do so. When he obeyed God's word through the prophet, his skin became clean once again. Naaman the leper finally obeyed God, and his leprosy was cleansed. Let me look at something finally in the few minutes that we have left. And that is, again, where are you in the devil's plan? We have pointed out what the gospel of Jesus Christ is, and I'll refer to it briefly again. We had pointed out what Agrippa's answer was. We had pointed out why some people put off the gospel. They think they have more time. They reason in their hearts there may be another way. Where are you in the devil's plan? Think of God's plan. Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 brings that out. There is only one body, Ephesians 4, 4. Jesus said, I'll build my church. Satan says, through his ministers, go attend the church of your choice. In Satan's mind, as long as you're in the wrong church, you're going to be lost and spend your eternity in hell. But Jesus built his church. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father had not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Jesus also said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What does man say? He that believes shall be saved. Baptism is not necessary for salvation. Who do you want to believe? You want to believe God or the devil? You want to believe God or man? Jesus told us two of those necessary conditions in order to be saved, belief and baptism. Now on Pentecost, they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. What does mankind say? You can't do anything at all. But then these pastors turn around and say, well, yes, here's what you need to do. You need to say this little prayer asking Jesus for forgiveness and asking him to come into your heart. Again, what did Jesus say? John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's John 14 and verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What does mankind say? Well, if you want to be saved, if you want salvation, if you want eternal life, these pastors say, repeat after me. Why do they say that? Because you're not going to have Jesus telling anybody to say a prayer to be saved. And so it's very simple to see God's plan and man's plan. The pastors come along and they tell people on the TVs, radio, internet, in the church buildings, if you want salvation and eternal life, repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. Amen. You don't find that prayer in the New Testament, but you do have what Jesus Christ said. Remember what Jesus said. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? If you want to be saved, obey the gospel that Jesus Christ wanted preached. There's facts of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. There's commands of the gospel. That is, you got to have faith. 1 John 3:23, belief is a command. Belief in Jesus Christ as being the Son of God. Repentance is a command. Acts 17:30, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. That's verse 31. Acts 10:47-48, baptism is a command of the gospel. Peter preached to Cornelius, and Peter said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. There's facts of the gospel, commands of the gospel. There's also rewards of the gospel. What Jesus said, when you believe and you're baptized, you're going to be saved. That's a reward. Salvation. Forgiveness of sins or the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Being added by Jesus to his family, Acts 2:47. Receiving all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. God being able to meet all of our needs, Philippians 4:19. So again, where are you in the devil's plan? Hopefully you're not in the devil's plan. But if you are, hopefully you've realized that and want to get away from the devil and come to Jesus Christ our Lord. I hope these words that I've been able to share with you this evening from Revelation, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Acts chapter 26 and elsewhere have been beneficial unto you. We pray and hope that you'll obey the gospel before it's everlastingly too late. We hope that you might be able to call some of the numbers that Brother Tommy Brooks had listed for you and will provide for you again, that way we may be able to follow up on this study. So at this time, I'll turn the services back over to Brother Tommy.
Wow. Brother Copeland, you've done exactly what I wanted you to do with this topic, and that is to identify that this devil is not our friend, and we don't want to be in his plan. And I thank you for that, because those of our visitors who are listening, we wanted you to hear just this. You have a soul to save, and it's up to you to make this decision to obey God or that old serpent called the devil. Now, if you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, he's made it real clear that Jesus has given us specific instructions of what we must do to be saved, and the church that's in the Bible is the Church of Christ. In order to be saved, he's told us that. If you want to be baptized, become a member of the Church of Christ and be in God's plan, you know, what I want you to do is get back with the person who invited you to call. They're members of the Church of Christ. They wanted you to hear this as well. To tell them you want to be baptized or you want to know more, you want a Bible class, whatever it is that we can do to help you. Here's what we believe. If you seek in truth, then you will have no problem with anything that was taught tonight, because that means you believe the Bible is right over you. If you believe the Bible is right, then let us help you. Let us help you by getting you baptized, getting you to a Church of Christ close wherever you are. No matter where you are, we'll make sure that happens for you. Perhaps you want to go back and listen to Brother Copeland's message a little closer. Go to our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And you click on Sermons, Nationwide Gospel Meeting. and you find all of our sermons. There are different topics that you may need to know more about baptism or know about the one church or whatever it is you need an answer to. Their questions have been answered through these preachers I'm bringing on my call. So now, if you have a question for me or a question for Brother Copeland specifically, just go ahead and email me at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And I will make sure I get that question, Brother Copeland, and I'm confident that he'll be willing to talk to you and address that question, whatever it is. We want to do whatever we can to help you save your soul. Here's the thing. The devil wants us all to die in our sins. That's his goal. His victory, if you die in your sin, he wins. It's your decision. So we thank you for calling tonight. We thank you for being on our call. We want you to know every visitor who is not a member of Church of Christ, we put this call on with you in mind. You're our targeted audience. We want you to hear this. And we speak the truth in love. Again, hollandheightscoc.net or email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Let's pray to God. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this night you've given us. Thank you so very much for your love for the world, for the giving of your only Son. We thank him for giving his life and dying that cruel death on Calvary, shedding the blood that washed our sins away in baptism, and that same blood purchased his church, his bride, the Church of Christ. And Lord, we pray for our listening audience that tonight, those who are seeking truth, as you said through your word, the hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. And we know that this peace that the Father seeketh. So I know you're seeking those who seek to be true worshipers. And we thank you tonight for seeking those who seek to be true worshipers. And we pray those on our call that are seeking to be true worshipers, we pray that their hearts are open to receive your word with meekness, understanding is able to save their soul. And upon them receiving it, they will be obedient to your will, your way, and your commandments. Thank you for our speaker. Thank you for Brother Copeland. What a great job he's done tonight. We pray for him and his family and his ministry. Continue to bless us, bless our ministry, bless our effort with this gospel meeting, the conference call. Thank you for our friends and family and loved ones who are allowing us to come into their homes for 30 minutes with a sound gospel preacher to preach your word without addition or subtraction. We love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Join us tomorrow night for another powerful message. And we will be unveiling the first flyer for the month of October. Stand by. It's coming out. We will release it today. May God bless you to have a good night's rest. Sleep peacefully. Well, I guess that's if you're not in the devil's plan. May God bless.